Well, good morning. It's so wonderful to be together as God's people, to have this opportunity to worship our God and to praise Him. We'll be talking in a few minutes about stretching forward to higher ground and having aspirations that are the aspirations that Christians are to have in this world. Before we do that, I'd invite your attention to Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is speaking to those who have been brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ, to those who are in Christ, and that's many of us who are here this morning, most all of us who are adults are in Christ. And he says in Romans 6 and verse 3, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." All around the world today, people are remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ on a day that men have invented to do that. But for those of us who are in Christ, we came into Christ by being baptized into him, and we were raised to walk with him in newness of life as he was raised from the dead. Our lives every day are living the resurrection of Christ because we have come into this relationship with him through the resurrection. Our hope for the future, for eternity, is based on the resurrection of Christ. If we are in his image now, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We walk in it and we look forward to it. So if you're in Christ this morning, thank you for being here, and remember to walk in the resurrection day by day. That's what honoring the resurrection is all about. This morning, we're talking about a Christian's aspirations. The word aspiration is defined as a strong desire, a longing, or an aim, an ambition. The world encourages us to aspire to many things. To wealth, to power, to career achievement, to athletic achievement. If you think about your life, especially maybe when you were younger, what were your aspirations? Did you aspire to win a gold medal in the Olympics? Did you aspire to find a cure for cancer? Did you aspire to find a husband or a wife or whatever and have a happy family? Those aspirations that we have when we're young people, some of them come true, but most of us don't win a gold medal. Most of us don't win a Nobel Prize. Most of us don't find the cure for cancer. Maybe we aspire to something like playing an instrument, and we want to be really good at it. Maybe we want to play at Carnegie Hall sometimes. Well, maybe we play an instrument, and maybe we get good at it, but we never get to Carnegie Hall. So some of those aspirations are just partially realized in our lives. Of course, when you get to be my age, those kinds of aspirations are pretty much gone by the wayside, and you're pretty much day by day just aspiring to get out of bed in the morning. That's an aspiration that a lot of us my age might have. The aspirations of Christians, as Christians, are much different from those worldly aspirations that many have. I was noticing the other day, reading 1 Thessalonians, and I came across this verse that we've read many times, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, where Paul commands Christians to aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I'll just say in way of passing right now, and we'll get back to this verse in a minute, those aren't the kind of things most of us think of as aspirations, just to live a quiet life, to work with our own hands. And we'll get back to that passage in a minute. But it made me think about this word aspire and what aspirations really are. The particular word that's translated aspire in this verse is from a Greek word that really means literally the love of honor, philotimiomai. It means to be fond of honor, to be actuated by the love of honor. And from a love of honor to strive to bring something to pass. The word aspire is only found one time in the New King James Version of the Bible. It's not found at all in the King James Version of the Bible. But I believe it's a really good translation of this word. This particular word, this in the Greek, occurs three times in the New Testament. It's translated in different ways, as we shall see. But I'd like to look at the three occurrences of the word that's translated aspire here in the Scriptures and take from those passages the lesson of what it is that we as Christians are to aspire to, what it is that we're trying to honorably achieve in this life. What great thing does God want us to do as His people? And so let's start by looking at that verse, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. A quiet life of minding your own business. That's our aspiration. That's what we're commanded to aspire to. Not stirring up problems for ourselves by injecting ourselves into situations in which we have no business, or by gossiping about things that either don't concern us or that we really don't know anything about. Let me ask you something. Do you aspire to get on social media and spout off about a bunch of stuff you don't know anything about? I think apparently a lot of people aspire to that. It sure goes on a lot. It seems to me that that's somewhat the opposite of what Paul is saying here to us. Someone has said that people should always mind their own business. More trouble is caused in this world by interference than any other single thing. And there may be some truth in that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul will tell these same Thessalonians that we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. In other words, they're not walking like Christians are supposed to walk. They're out of step with what being a Christian should be. They're walking in a disorderly manner, he says, not working at all, but they're busybodies. Rather than laboring with their hands and making a living for themselves, they'd rather be all involved in everybody else's business. And I think that's part of the problem in our culture, by the way, that we don't need to work as much as we used to. You know, when people work 12 hours a day in the field, people have a lot of time on their hands, and so they sit around and talk about everybody else's business, whether on social media or any other venue, telephones, whatnot. And it's a temptation for us as Christians. Christians who are supposed to aspire to lead a quiet life and mind our own business. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul warns about the young widow who is maybe not what she should be, who learns to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Same problem. When we don't have enough work to do, when we don't stay busy doing things that are productive, then our mind starts to churn and our mouth starts to spew and our fingers get on the keyboard, and before you know it, we're saying a whole bunch of stuff that we don't really need to be saying. Getting into trouble, causing grief for ourselves and for others. And then, on top of all that, we'll develop a persecution complex. You know, well, I said this on Facebook, or I put this on Twitter, and everybody's on me because of what I said, and everybody hates me, and nobody's, you know, being fair to me, and so on and so forth. So we develop this persecution. We feel like people are out to get us because of something that we brought on ourselves by sticking our nose into something where it didn't belong. That's exactly the opposite of the life that Paul is describing and commanding that we aspire to. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, the apostle says, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters." Keep out of other people's business. Don't feel like you're compelled somehow to inject yourself into every situation that you hear about. You're just going to cause trouble for yourself. Someone has said that it is personal vanity of the most flagrant type that intrudes itself unasked into other people's affairs. Why do people do that? Why do we inject ourselves into things that really aren't our business. Again, according to what I see on social media, just practically anybody on the street, anybody that can have a Facebook account or a social media account, apparently can run our country better than our president can. You know, that's because we think we know more than anybody else, right? Right? That's the problem. We think we know more. We think we can do that. And it's, I'm talking politics there, but you can just name the subject matter. And we feel sort of compelled, well, I just know so much more about this, and people ought to listen to me because after all, I'm who I am, and therefore, I'm going to put my 2 cents into this. And that's not the life of Christians to live. Now, let me hasten to say, and we'll talk at the end of the lesson in just a few minutes, about an area where we do need to inject ourselves into other people's lives. That's part of what we should aspire to. But it's not with this kind of stuff. It's not with this kind of stuff. We need to learn the lesson that busy souls have no time to be busy bodies. And Paul is saying we should aspire to not being a busybody. We should aspire then also along with this in the same passage to be industrious and by implication charitable. Working with your own hands, he says, not for selfish accumulation of possessions, but to support ourselves and to have something to share with others. We want to be industrious, busy, in good work, in productive work, and charitable. This is similar to what Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, when he says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let's get busy. Let's be productive. Let's earn a living so that we might support ourselves and also so that we might be able to help others out. There's a productive life. Let's aspire to that. Let's aspire to being productive in that way. In Acts chapter 20, Paul uses himself as an example as he's talking there to the Ephesian elders. And he says, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. What Paul is saying is, I'm an example of the things that I'm teaching you, the things he taught would teach to the Thessalonians, the things that he would teach to the Ephesians. He exemplified those things. He would work with his hands to provide for himself, to provide for others, and to give to those who had need. He goes on to say, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's such a well-known proverb, it's virtually cliche. But it's true. And Jesus said it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. What have we learned so far? That a simple life of minding our own business and working hard and sharing with others is what we are to aspire to. I'm afraid when young people a lot of times think about their aspirations, you know, they have sort of this pie in the sky, big picture thing that they want to do in their life. And what Paul is basically saying is, do your work, get a job, earn some money, keep your head down, support yourself, help others, stay out of other people's business. Aspire to that. Aspire to that. Being able to give to others is especially rewarding and is, in fact, I think one of the chiefest of life's aspirations, charity. Charity is one of life's highest aspirations, to be able to give to those who are in need. The second verse in which this particular Greek word that we're looking at is found is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. And in that text, the apostle says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. So the phrase that's translated, we make it our aim there, is the same from the same word that's translated aspire in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. So we make it our aim, or we aspire to what? To be pleasing to God. That's what the passage is teaching. We are to please Him in every way in our lives. What do you want to do with your life? Please God. That's what. Please God with your life. And we do that by giving Him our lives, by letting Him have control of our lives, by sacrificing our lives for His glory. Paul will say to us in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The word translated acceptable there is the same word that's translated pleasing back over in 2 Corinthians 5, 9. We are pleasing God by giving our lives over to Him, allowing Him to do with our lives and in our lives what He desires, and allowing Him to use us as His instruments. On this earth, we are His instruments. We are to be used by Him in that way. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, the writer there says, May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What I want you to focus on in that passage is this. When God is working in us, when we are doing His will, that is well-pleasing in His sight. So when I get up in the morning, and the question I ask myself is, Steve, what are you going to do today? Or, Steve, what do you want to do today? I've asked myself the wrong question. I've aspired to the wrong thing. The question that I need to ask myself is, what does God want me to do today? What is His will for me today? And then go about doing that, to aspire to do the will of God today. That's what pleases Him. That's what pleases Him. And in that way, Paul will write to the Philippians in Philippians 2 and verse 13, It is God who works in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You want to please God? Do what He says. You want to please God? Make it your daily goal to do His will. Whatever His will is, in whatever circumstances you find yourself. The third verse we're going to look at is Romans 15 and verse 20. As Paul begins to wind down this great epistle, he says, I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. And that phrase again, made it my aim, is from the same word that's translated aspire in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. I aspire to preach the gospel. To aspire to share the story of the love of God. The word translated to preach the gospel there, literally, if I think we brought it over into English, would be evangelize, to share the good news, to share the story of the gospel, to spread the story of the gospel. And here we need to understand, I mentioned this a moment ago, and now we're at this point where sharing the gospel with others and telling others about Jesus is not being a busybody. When you meet somebody who doesn't know Jesus and who doesn't know what they need to do to be saved, and you share that information with them, you're not intruding into somebody else's life. You know, sometimes I think we have this idea, we'll give people our opinion about anything and everything, but when it comes to telling people about what to do to be saved, oh, well, I don't want to bother them. That's exactly the opposite of what it needs to be. Bother them all you want with the gospel, with the story of salvation. Paul says, I make it my aim to evangelize. My aspiration is to evangelize. Our theme this year is seeking the lost, pointing to Jesus. There's our aspiration. If you can bring one soul to Jesus, to stand with you before His throne on the day of judgment, you will have joy for all eternity at having realized that single aspiration. Paul says, I aspire to evangelize. He's not saying, I aspire to be a full-time preacher. You know, if that's your aspiration, that's great, but that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, you know, I aspire to preach in some big congregation. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I aspire to share the gospel. It is the story of God's love. The God who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And it's that love of Christ that compels us to share the gospel with those that we love and value. We were in 2 Corinthians 5 a little bit ago, noticing in verse 9 where Paul had said, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord, whether present or absent. Continuing on in that passage, he makes it clear that sharing the gospel pleases God. So really in sharing the gospel, you do two of these aims at once. You aspire to do these two things. He says in verse 14 that the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What Paul is saying there is that the love of Christ is compelling us to realize this aspiration, this aim of sharing the gospel. And so when I look at people, I don't see them like I used to anymore. I see, instead of just people who might be able to do something for me in some material way, that's not how you look at people anymore. You don't know them according to the flesh. But you look beyond that to see the value of their soul. That's what he's saying. He's pleasing God, fulfilling this aspiration to share the gospel with people. And so you come down to verse 20 and he says, now we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. This is an expression of our love for our fellow man. It's the motivation for evangelizing. Love is the ultimate and highest goal to which any man can aspire. And my friends, it demonstrates itself in sharing the gospel. You'll never show anybody that you love them any more than when you tell them the gospel story. What an aspiration. Sometimes we sing, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care and few there are who pray. But melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. Aspire to that. A.A. Hedge wrote that no man can ever rise above that at which he aims. If our aspirations are small, our life will be small as well. what we've learned this morning is try to live a peaceful, quiet life. Be busy. Be busy with physical things so that you can have support for yourself and help others. But mainly be busy with spiritual things, striving to please God in all that you do and say and think. And be busy sharing the gospel. This morning, if there would be one here who would respond to the gospel, we talked at the very first of the lesson about being baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you also might walk in newness of life. If you take that step this morning, we'd encourage you. We'd help you. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.